Hey, hey, peacemakers, this is the Soul Coach, and you're tuned into Peace of Mind with the Soul Coach podcast. This is your one-stop shop for life lessons in entrepreneurship, finance, military life, school, self-care, and all things that matter. Myself and guests will share our experiences to show you that there isn't a right or wrong path for life. So grab your life by its hand because we're going on the road to contentment. Hashtag keep smiling.
Hey.
Hey, give me 1 second. I'm trying to fix my headphones.
Okay.
Okay, I think I'm good.
Okay. And you can hear me fine?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. Give me 1 second. I'm putting my phone on. Do not disturb.
Oh, I need to do that too.
Okay, I'm good now. And do you have any questions before we get started?
I don't think I have any questions.
Okay. And is your last name Arrington or Arrington?
Arrington.
Okay. Okay, just making sure I pronounce it correctly. All right. So, I'm going to run through and, well, not run through. I'm going to go through the questions. And then, after I'm done with the questions, then we'll do the fun questions so people can get to know you, and then that's when you'll do the actual sentence that I sent you over.
Okay.
All right. So who is Jarquita Arrington, and what is Natural Oasis?
I'm sorry. I'm answering the question now.
Oh, yeah. So,
okay.
When I ask the questions, then you'll just go ahead and you can follow up with an answer or whatever. And then, yeah, so I'm not going to pause or anything in between it.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
Okay. So, I'm gonna start over and reiterate the question, and then I'll just continue through with all the questions.
Okay.
All right. So, who is Jarquita Arrington? And what is Natural Oasis?
Jarquita is a young 30-something mom of two beautiful babies, a teenage girl and a toddler baby boy. And I'm also a wife, a business owner, and just all around a goal-oriented young woman. Natural Oasis is my baby. I started Natural Oasis in fall of 2017. My baby boy was about 5 or 6 months old at the time. And I was in my first semester of graduate school. And I had an epiphany. I was like, I need to create a legacy. And Natural Oasis was born out of that thought. I was already laying the foundation for it, and I had been doing so for a couple of years. And I was like, you know what? Let me make it official.
Okay, so tell me about your life growing up.
My life growing up was pretty awesome. I'll say I had an amazing childhood. I grew up in a very loving, close-knit family, so there were lots of trips to different places. My family is really big on traveling and making sure that, you know, children have, like, an amazing experience. So I grew up a very well-rounded, awesome childhood. I was born in Atlanta, Decatur specifically, but my family moved here
When I was about 5 years old, my mom is from here. My dad was not from here. He was from the New York area, but his family moved here when he was in his last years of high school. And I went to Johnson and then graduated high school, decided to stick around for college. And then I spent some time going back and forth between Savannah and Atlanta. And eventually I decided, okay, you know, Savannah's going to be my home for the time being. But the actual growing up part, I'm really thankful that I grew up in the family that I grew up in, because as I'm talking to other people, I really am able to reflect and realize that my childhood was amazing.
Okay. So what does natural hair mean to you, and describe it in three words?
Let's see. Natural hair means to me just the hair that grows out of your scalp. I know for some people that means specifically unprocessed hair, but I don't really feel that way. I think as long as it's the hair that's just growing out of your scalp, then it's natural hair. That doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't, that it's not dyed or not relaxed or some other process. I'm not quite that strict in my definition of natural hair, but I just think it's your hair that grows out of your scalp. And three words. Let's see. I'm going to use three positive words. Healthy, moisturized, and textured.
Yeah, that's a good one, because all natural hair is not the same. It's not like, I have fine hair, so my hair is really soft and I have curls. But it does, like, I have two different textures in my hair, so it's not all the same, and it definitely, it's probably like that for a lot of other people.
It is. I try to tell people that I know that there is a hair typing system that is out there, and a lot of people are really married to that hair typing system. And so I try to tell people, you gotta let some of that go, because it can be helpful, especially if you are on a brand new natural journey. However, for the majority of people, we don't have just one specific hair type on top of our head. So it can be a little bit frustrating when you are looking at somebody and they're saying they have this specific hair type, and you're like, oh, I think I have that hair type too. And you're trying to use the products they use and it's not working, it's because, you know, they may have that overall hair type, but they may have some other textures going on. So, you know, you can't just be married to, oh, I have type 3 hair, I have type 4 hair. I usually speak in very general terms about my hair type, because I know that's not the most important thing when it comes to being natural.
Okay. And I want another thing before I move on to my question, is I believe that my hair texture has changed over time, like as I've gotten older. So I don't believe my hair has like been fine for, at least from what I remember. But when I start to look at pictures and everything, then I start to notice that, okay, maybe there'll, my hair has probably been fine, but the things that, whether it was the water or the products that my mom was using on my hair and how they were actually treating my hair prior to having relaxed hair, it wasn't as fine.
So. I think that that's important that you noted that, because usually your hair type, whenever it is processed and it grows out of that process, it's a totally different hair type. I had that same issue. my hair has always been very thick. Even when it was relaxed, I always had super thick hair. But the way that my hair feels is completely different. Even when, you know, thinking about when I used to have new growth, when my hair is relaxed, my new growth did not feel anything like how my natural hair feels now. And even over the course, you know, of the years from my big chop until now, my hair has also continued to change the way that it looks and the way that my curls are shaped. Some of it is probably due to the fact that my hair is just a lot longer now. Mm-hmm. But I think also it's just because your hair just changes sometimes.
Yeah.
Even from like between pregnancies, like my hair is totally different from when I was pregnant with my daughter. And then after I was pregnant with my son, my hair changed textures. So it went from a very tight curl to like now I have a more kinky curl, which I thought was very strange because I had no idea that could happen. But
yeah,
reading about other women, especially non-Black women who were saying that they had bone straight hair and they got pregnant and they had their babies and now they have curly hair. And so I know I wasn't just like thinking that. I knew it actually happened.
Yeah. Okay. And I know you touched a little bit on your natural hair journey, but my question is, were you always into natural hair and knew how to embrace it? If not, what made you change your mind and learn to embrace your hair?
I was not always into natural hair. I mentioned earlier that I had an amazing childhood, but I also had very Southern parents, grandparents, aunts, and uncles. So they were like stuck on relaxers. And I remember I had a little bit of like hair trauma related to that because my mom would always be so upset that I had so much hair. Mm-hmm. And so I remember very vividly specific conversations as she was relaxing my hair. And her just complaining about how thick my hair was. And like, I could only go like maybe 6 weeks in between relaxers before my mom was slapping another relaxer on top of my new growth. So growing up, I kind of just had this idea, even as I started to see girls go natural, like, oh, that's not going to be for me because my hair is too thick and unmanageable. I need to have a relaxer in my hair. However, when I got pregnant with my daughter, my biggest fear was her carrying that same, I guess, hair burden. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, my hair is not, you know, good enough to grow out of my scalp the way that it naturally grows. Like, she has to have a relaxer. My first thought was, when I found out I was having a daughter, I don't want my daughter to have a relaxer. I want her to love her hair the way that it comes out of her scalp. So that was a big motivation for me for going natural because I was like, I'm not going to be able to effectively convey that message to my daughter. If she sees me getting a relaxer, she's going to be like, Mommy, why are you telling me to love my hair and you're perming your hair? You don't mm-hmm. love your hair. And so I wanted to perm my hair too because children imitate things that you do. So that definitely motivated me to go and start my natural hair journey and to continue on to it and really fall in love with my hair.
That literally brings up so many different things. And I'm upset because I don't have a question about hair trauma, but that's going to be another episode that we'll have to get into specifically about hair trauma and especially in the Black community.
Yes.
So just be on the lookout for an email. Jaquita, when we go talk about this, because that is we need to talk about, especially because being from the South and being like that is a staple moment or staple moments within whether it's girls or boys' life, because there are some families who have children with natural hair, and whether it's a boy or a girl, and they want to straighten their hair and do all these different things and allow them to see the changes of their natural hair. So yes, we're going to talk about that.
Yes, girl, I'm excited. I could go on and on and on about my issues with Southern culture and hair.
Oh, yes. Okay. Now you're giving me all these ideas. Let me stay focused. So, okay, when you were getting your hair done as a child, what was your, or well, as a child or a teenager, what was your favorite hairstyle?
I used to live for a roller set. And even now, that's probably my favorite natural hairstyle. I just love the way that, like, the curls bounce when they come out of the roller set. And it is one of the few hairstyles that the older it gets and it changes, the better it looks. And so I would live for a good roller set. And probably the only other hairstyle that I love so much was pulling my hair back into a sleek bun. And it's so funny because I see so many girls going to beauticians now to get their hair slicked back. And I was like, I used to do that.
Exactly.
When I was in middle and high school, it was not a thing. And now it's a huge thing.
Yes, I can definitely attest to that. I used to, in middle school, I used to make a sock bun. And yes! I used to get that gel, or I used to straighten my hair prior to actually doing this, maybe wear my hair down. And then when I noticed that it was starting to get like, okay, it's around that time where I got a lot of new growth, or I'm ready to wash my hair and do a different style, I'm like, okay, let me put my hair up in a bun, put a bow or a ribbon or whatever. And literally, like, especially living in the South, like, there were so many different trends that we did with our hair as far as being in middle school with sock buns. Girl, like, if I didn't have a ribbon or anything, I would take one of those, you know, those bracelets with the little, like, the little ball bracelets you get at the hair store with the earrings.
Yeah.
I used to take the bracelet and I used to put it on around my sock bun as an accessory if I didn't have anything to put around my bun.
Oh, my goodness. It used to be that the sock bun or... I fell in love with like the butterfly clips at one point. So sometimes I would like do flat twists in the front of my hair and then put my butterfly clips and then roller set the back of my hair.
Like, people don't know, like, people in the South, like, we really were doing our hair like early on.
All of the hairstyles that are trending now, I'm like, girl, that hairstyle is so old.
Exactly. When I used to go, so I got my hair relaxed in sixth grade, from sixth grade until I want to say like 10th grade is when I got my last perm. And I used to get go get my hair done every 2 weeks. My mom had me sitting in the hair salon early in the morning, there until the whole afternoon, getting barrels. I used to get like the barrel updo hairstyle with the rollers and stuff.
My god,
girl, my mom was like, yeah, you can't get no hairstyle that where your hair is hanging down until you learn how to take care of your hair. So I'm like, ugh. So I was in there getting my hair done, like, looking like some of my mom's friends getting updos and stuff.
Yes, the French roll. Oh my goodness. Yes. With the swoop in the front.
Yes, or the spikes, and I had to lay and have the hair wrap around my head, make sure I couldn't lay down a certain way or the hair would get messed up.
Oh my god, please. I sleeping on your hands.
That's when I learned how to sleep on my side and sleep on my stomach instead of sleeping on my back.
Right, because you could not mess up that hair. Your mama would be on your head if you messed it up.
And my mama didn't know how to do hair, so she was like, oh, if your hair get messed up, that's you. Your hair just going to be messed up until you go to the hair salon again.
Gosh, that is so funny. We all have the same childhood.
Yes. So at what point in time did you start thinking about your career choices as an adult, like in regards to being the founder and CEO of a business?
Honestly, it was starting graduate school because I always knew that I wanted to get my MBA before I even finished my bachelor's. And so the first semester, like, I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it. And I had a pretty good paying job at the time. And so it wasn't even out of necessity. I was literally just like, I cannot pass this job on to my children. And this job can be snatched away from me at any moment. Even though, you know, it was, I wasn't in jeopardy of having my job snatched away, but I was like, I'm working
thinking so far ahead, and it really helped you.
Yeah. And I was like, I just kept encountering so many people that made double, triple, quadruple my salary in my company. And I would talk to them and I was like, this man is stupid. Like, I just felt like they were so dumb when I was talking to them. And I was like, these people do not have any type of educational background beyond high school, because I was an accountant in hospitality. And hospitality is one of the few fields that you can go into. Like, if you make the right connections and you know the right people, you don't have to have any type of advanced education. You can just move up if you kiss enough butt. And so I was talking to all these guys and I was like, y'all don't know what y'all are talking about. And I would be in meetings and they would be talking about our financials and I would make a comment, because I, coming from an accounting background, I'm very analytical. And they would skip right over it. I was like, I cannot keep sitting in these meetings with these men who I know I'm smarter than. Like, I'm not even trying to toot my own horn, but I know for a fact I'm smarter than these men. I was like, I have to create a pathway that is an exit plan for me to be able to do full time. Because if they can make this amount of money and they're dumb, like, I know I can be intelligent and make a lot of money. And I was like, that's no shade to these men, because it's not their fault that people gave them these opportunities. But I need to create my own opportunity, because I don't want my children to be sitting in rooms like this, being either the only minority or one of very few minorities and not being listened to. I was like, this is really frustrating.
Yes, and having a cookie cutter job that doesn't fit their personality, doesn't fit their learning style, things they like to do. And it's just like, that's, I totally agree with you. And a lot of people don't realize until you're like having kids, or some people do realize before then that, okay, I need to create a legacy. But the urge is not there for like on a mainstream. It's always, oh, get a 9-to-5 job, retire, then go and do what you love after you've slaved and your mind is all tangled in bits and pieces of everything else. And you've been through all these different situations where you're just, you don't even want to do anything, and starting a business is not always the thing that you want to do after going to work a company. But for those who are in the position who are like you and have went to a job and said, okay, I need to stop this early on. I need to create my business and I need to create something for my children, because I don't want them to be in positions like this, coming home to me telling me, Mom, my boss said this, this, and this, and blah, blah, blah. And I can't even pay my bills because they won't even increase my salary. That's not something that nobody should have to go through, especially if your parent has knowledge or anything. You should be able to create an opportunity for your child, at least so you can say that you created it. And if they want to take it, they can take it. If they don't, they don't.
Exactly. Because so often schools will push our children into being employees. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being employees,
mm-hmm.
as long as it is a job that you love and you are happy with. But this idea is pushed without fail. Meanwhile, other people are the ones who are creating the jobs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, at some point, I have to like get out of the mindset, well, I'm just going to have to work a job. Like, I can be an employer as well. I can provide stability for other people, because I know everybody's not going to be an entrepreneur, and I feel like that's fine. Mm-hmm. However, I think that, you know, just my children being able to have options, I think that is a lot more comforting for me, because if you want to go work on somebody's job, that's fine. However, mommy has created a company, and you can work for mommy's company. Also, you can help expand or build on this legacy that mommy is creating. So I think just having an option there, because so many of us did not even have an option. It was like, I have to go to school and I have to get a degree and I have to get a decent paying job, because that's how life is set up in this country.
Yes. And robs you of your independence even before you can become independent. Right. And that's the main thing, where you're offering freedom, financial freedom and independence on, hey, mom, can I have this type of schedule? Can I work this type of schedule? And mm-hmm. being able to be flexible and allow them to be children when they want to.
Right. And that is my dream for my kids. My daughter, she's 13 now. But my dream is that when she goes off to college, I can be like, okay, you can come home on the weekends and work this event for Natural Oasis, or okay, you are on a break right now, you can come, you know, work in the office, you can come put some packages together. And not just my daughter, but also my nephews, because my nephews are teenagers as well. And so them, you know, if they decide to go to school locally, hey, like, you can come work. I will work around your schedule. You don't have to deal with, you know, stressing about somebody else trying to work around your schedule. Your aunt will work around your schedule. You can come work for me,
mm-hmm.
and that'll be fine. But I could not see myself working until 65 and then deciding to travel the world. That's not appealing to me at all.
Oh, no. Mm-mm.
No, so I was like, oh, work until when? The older I got, the more I was like, you know what, 65 is not that old, but it's not young either. And yeah. I want to enjoy the world when I'm traveling it, because that's the one thing I noticed from my travels. Like, it's always older people traveling. I was like, oh, no, I can't do that forever. This is not going to work.
Yes. So when you were thinking back on starting like your business, did you know about like the structure of the hair and what the hair like structure was consisted of, all these different glands and everything?
So I'm going to be honest, like, I did not know about the structure of the hair. That is something that I had to learn along the way, because all I knew was that I want to start a healthy hair journey, and the products that I'm using that are coming from the store, I know that professionals made them, and I know that they put a lot of money into these products. But whatever it is that they have, you know, created these products with, my hair does not like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to start at the basics. To actually figure out what it is that makes your hair grow. That was the biggest thing for me, like figuring out like how your hair actually grows. And a lot of times, like, we will talk about dead hair, or clipping off dead hair. And then me, like, you know, doing research about hair and realizing that once the hair is off of your scalp, it's already dead. And so I had to change the way that I thought about my hair. And so that helped me because I had to think of the hair in cycles, because that is how hair grows. Hair grows in cycles. The hair that we see that is the length that people get excited about, that's the oldest part of your hair. And initially I was like, you know, when you're growing up and you're getting relaxers, you spend so much time concentrating on the hair in your scalp because you're worried about the new growth. Mm-hmm. I had to get out of that and shift my focus to the hair that is at the very ends, because that's the oldest part of your hair. And so I was like, a lot of our problem in the Black community is not the hair won't grow. And we hear that a lot. My hair's not growing. My hair's not growing. I'm like, baby, you are getting a relaxer every 6 to 8 weeks. The hair that you have previously relaxed is not reverting. What you're relaxing is new hair. So it's not that your hair is not growing. It's you are not retaining hair because you're not spending enough time concentrating on the oldest part of your hair, which is the hair at the ends. And so I had to shift my thinking and realize, okay, this is the hair that I need to be babying. This is the hair that I need to make sure that I am moisturizing. Because if you think about just human beings, how we operate, babies are very resilient. They're really strong. They're really healthy. Older people are the ones that require all the care. So I had to think about my hair in the same way. And so I was also like, well, I can't totally neglect my scalp area. So then I had to actually shift how I was thinking about my scalp. I was thinking about my scalp totally separate from the rest of the skin on my body. And even though your scalp is unique in how it's structured, your scalp is the closest to the skin on your face. And so we don't let our face get dirty. We don't let our face get built up. If something is happening on our face, then we try to figure it out. And sometimes we tend to ignore our scalp because we're like, oh, it'll go away, it'll go away. No, it won't. You have to treat the skin on the hair. I mean, you have to treat your scalp the same way that you would treat the skin on your face. So you have to keep it clean. You have to make sure that your hair follicles don't get clogged up. So that means that maybe you have to do a scalp scrub and once a month, just to make sure that your hair follicles are nice and clean so that the hair can actually be able to push through your scalp and grow at a normal rate. Or that could mean making sure that there's no buildup on your scalp. So the same way that I take care for my face and making sure that I'm exfoliating my face, that I'm moisturizing my face, that I'm sealing my face, I treat my scalp this exact same way, because I know that that's going to promote healthy hair growth. And in some cases, that's going to promote accelerated hair growth because I'm getting all the dead cells off of my scalp and then the new ones can come and push through. And then I'm also making sure that I'm stimulating my scalp so that I have a lot of healthy blood flow, because that also contributes to healthy hair growth or accelerated hair growth.
Yes. Now that you put it that way and you've broken it down in the life cycles of hair, that really made me think about, wow, all of the myths that we've had as far as with hair, and especially with me having locks now, and I've had relaxed hair, I've had natural hair when I was born, I've had transitioning hair where I was letting the relaxer grow out, and then doing my big chop, then going to a point where I said, okay, I'm gonna chop all of my hair off, and then chopping it off to a point where I had like waves, then cutting it all off where I had like a low buzz cut, and then now letting my hair grow out again and having locks, and now going through all these different stages of with my hair and
people saying, oh, we got to have buildup. You let the buildup stay there for a little while and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And now with you putting all that stuff out there is really making me think like, okay, what's the truth? So we're going to need the rundown, and that's going to be another like in-depth show that we're going to actually have to do so that people can learn how to start taking care of their hair the correct way and like understanding and overstanding the life cycle of hair so that we all can be flourishing and we won't have some of these hair issues that we have.
Yeah, because hair is really complicated. Like, I didn't even get into the three phases of hair growth because that is a whole other can of worms in itself. But you know, just to briefly touch on it, your hair grows in three phases. The first one is the anagen phase. That's when your hair, most of your hair is growing, and your hair spends like several years in the anagen phase. So typically people who you see that have really long hair and they haven't chopped it or cut it in a while, their hair is in the anagen phase. And then you have the catagen phase, and that's usually the phase where people are complaining about, oh, my hair is not growing, my hair is not growing. Because that's when the phase of your hair life cycle, when it slowed down a bit, when the hair is starting to mature. And the hair follicle itself, it actually shrinks just a little bit. And then you have like a telogen phase, and that's the resting phase. And that is where you get your hair shedding, which is totally normal. But a lot of people are also alarmed by like the telogen phase. And all of those phases are going to vary depending on person to person. But the biggest thing that I have figured out how to do with my products and with the way that I take care of my hair is to extend my anagen phase. And so I know that's really hard for a lot of people because they don't know the basics of taking care of their hair. But that is the basis of, you know, my company helping people to extend their anagen phase with the right products and the right methods. But yeah, girl, that's a can of worms in itself, like talking
See,
about that.
And you own to something. Now that I notice what really entails, like, behind the growth of hair, just with you highlighting that, all these big hair care companies do not talk about that, and they say, oh, hair grow with this and that, and they cheating us. They not even doing their own research. They just mixing stuff together and saying, hey, put it on your head, buy it, oh, it smell good, and this and this and this, and make your curls pop and all this stuff. But meanwhile, over time, it's not really giving your hair the benefits that it needs. And imagine if all the things that you're putting in it is messing up your skin, is messing up, allowing your skin to allow these toxins and stuff in, and not just your face, but all over your body.
Right.
When you wash it off in the shower, or you wash it off and it's dripping, all the water is dripping in the excess products or whatever you may have left on there, is definitely seeping in your body and getting to all these different parts of your body.
Right. And that was for some people I know that are married to relaxers. And I fully believe that's a personal choice, by the way. They, you know, because they don't want to deal with their hair in its natural state. But that was also, once I started to research about relaxers, that was also another big push for me to stop relaxing my hair when I realized how porous your scalp is. And I thought about it. I was like, whenever I have freshly relaxed hair, I feel bald-headed because all of my hair pores are open. And so I was like, I don't want to keep putting this chemical on my scalp because I've literally seen scientific experiments where this same chemical was able to burn through a Coke can. And I was like, I can't imagine what is happening when it's getting into my scalp because it's sitting there for about 20 minutes. And I was like, 20 minutes is not a long time, but if you put a mask on your face for 20 minutes, it's going to do something to your skin. And so I was like, it's doing something to my scalp too. And I was like, I don't want to, you know, risk it because if I leave this on, it's going to burn, literally burn the skin on my scalp. And so I was like, I probably should not be putting something on my scalp that can literally cause like a chemical burn on my scalp if I leave it on for too long.
Girl, the nightmares that I've experienced with being in the hair salon, and like my mom's best friend, she used to do my hair, and she did my mom's hair, did, like literally all these different people hair. And she had a salon called M'Lady's right next to the cat bus station.
Yeah.
Girl, I used to be in M'Lady sitting there, and since everybody used to come to her, I'm like, Lord have mercy. Like, if she don't come back, she ain't eating about 72 hours, so she gotta go and get food, come back, do the hair, get my hair done. And I'd be sitting there with the relaxer on my scalp, and I'm like, it's burning. Oh yeah, it can burn a little bit. I'm like, burn a little bit. I remember when she used to wash it out, it literally felt like open flesh, like on my scalp. And then after she did it, and then applying the heat, and then applying all these different alcohol based products in my hair, and then the scalp, the scalp getting all scabby. And girl, when I tell you, I used to be bored in class picking my scabs.
Oh my God. I thought it was just me. Like, it did not matter how much somebody used to base my scalp. I would always get some sort of burn on my scalp. That shows you that
the level of penetration for it to go through Vaseline or whatever product they put on to base your scalp, girl. And see, this is why I need to learn more about your products, and we need to learn more about your products, because this is something we don't need to be doing. And I mean, like you said, there are some people who are married to the creamy crack. And I'm like, I can't imagine like still doing that. I felt like when I was getting relaxers done, I was losing brain cells. I didn't feel like how I feel now. I feel more like open to learning, and and I'm able to read information much more. Like before, no, I feel like I wasn't at my fullest potential when I was learning.
No, like it was so weird. Like after I would get my hair relaxed, I always felt like a little lightheaded. Or I really felt like relaxers used to do something to me. So shout out to everybody who can get them with no issue. But that was not the case for me at all. And even getting my relaxers professionally done, my hair just did not thrive the way that it's thriving now.
Yeah.
It was not happening. Like, my hair would grow until about shoulder length, and then that thing would jump right off my scalp. I would have to get a haircut like every year, like clockwork, because my hair would just never grow correctly.
Yeah. So tell me more about the process of creating and formulating your products, and what did you find easy when making your products? Since they are natural, did you find making products easy since they are natural?
It was actually really hard to formulate my products, not because it was, I guess because I wanted to really be knowledgeable about what it was that I was mixing together. So I spent a countless number of hours in front of my computer doing research about the specific essential oils and the specific carrier oils and the specific butters that I wanted to incorporate into my products. Because I wanted to be really intentional about everything that I put into my product, because I was like, this is going to carry my name. And if someone asks me about my products and they're knowledgeable, I want to be able to confidently have a reply to them, because I hate when somebody is trying to sell me something and I ask them about it and they give me a one or two word answer and I can just tell that like they're just selling me something. And I was like, I also don't want to just be selling something to people. I want to be helping people to start their own healthy hair journey. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know that doesn't necessarily translate to, oh, I want to grow my hair to waist length, but some people just want healthy hair overall, even if they're going to chop it off every 6 months, they just want their hair to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so, each of the ingredients that I picked for a specific purpose. For example, one of the ingredients in my hair butter, my Vanilla Bliss butter, it is called amla oil. Amla oil is an Ayurvedic oil. And before I even, you know, decided to make my own products, before I even formed Natural Oasis, I did a ton of research about Ayurvedic oils and what that actually means, because I looked to the Indian culture, mm-hmm. because I know that their women are known for having beautiful hair and beautiful, long, healthy hair. And so amla oil is one of the ingredients that I picked. It comes from the amla fruit, and another name for the amla fruit is the Indian gooseberry. And what they do is the process that they use, they smush it up and they grind it up and then they extract the oil from the mixture that they smushed up and ground up. And Indian women, they will take it in there and massage it on their scalp at night. And it, as they're massaging on their scalps, that's helping to stimulate the blood flow to that area. But also, it has been proven to accelerate hair growth. And so I was like, okay, I want to use amla oil in my products. And then I also knew that I wanted to use aloe vera. And so I have two different products that incorporate aloe vera in various forms. The hair butter, the aloe vera gel. Mm-hmm. And then my leave-in conditioner, it incorporates the aloe vera juice. Mm. Because I know it's super moisturizing to your hair. For some reason, the past maybe 6 months, aloe vera has gone viral all over the natural hair community. Mm-hmm. And you see tons of videos, like even beauticians and salons cutting open an aloe vera plant and slathering it on their clients' hair and then sending them underneath a steamer or a hair dryer or what have you. And so I was like, okay, I knew I was onto something. I knew
it's even people who are selling just aloe vera gel.
Yes.
To their customers. And I'm like, y'all know y'all can just go get this from the store.
Right.
But it's just a brand that they're buying it. They're buying it because they, oh, it may be some magical aloe vera gel that I'm getting from them.
Right. And so I was like, okay, like, you know, I know that there is a lot of controversy surrounding people who make natural hair products and people who are licensed cosmetologists. I've seen, you know, some of that controversy and the back and forth between, you know, are people who are just doing research, are they knowledgeable or as knowledgeable as cosmetologists? But it was really reaffirming to me, because even though I make my own products and I don't have a cosmetology degree, I have a lot of respect for cosmetologists who are actually licensed. So seeing them using aloe vera and incorporating it into the process in the salon, I was like, okay, I did an awesome job with my research. Mm-hmm. And so that's essentially what I've done with all of my products. I looked up, you know, various ingredients and what they were for. And after I decided on my set of ingredients, based off of the general knowledge that I knew about them, I did more extensive research and I was like, okay, I really like this ingredient. How can I incorporate it into a product? Or even though I love this ingredient, I cannot incorporate it into my product because it is not going to agree with the other ingredients that I have in my product. So,
okay. So after creating your first product, who did you try it on and what were the results?
I created my first product before Natural Oasis was actually my baby. And I was the first guinea pig for my product. I was kind of stuck on Shea Moisture at the time because that Shea Moisture was very trendy. It had just popped up and on Natural Hair YouTube and all the girls were, you know, raving about Shea Moisture. And so I went out and bought almost their entire line. And I was like, I do not like these products. And so I was getting stuck on, like, you know, different products that the YouTube girls were recommending. And I had a closet full of products. And my then boyfriend, now husband, he was like, you better not buy another product. You got all this stuff in here. Like, you keep spending money on all this stuff and you're using it. You need to stop buying all this stuff. And I was like, okay, let me figure something out. And so I knew about shea butter, but I really didn't know like how it would impact my hair. So I just bought some raw shea butter and I used it on my hair to, I used to wear my hair in a puff. I just like, you know, melted some and rubbed it through my hair in a puff. And my hair felt really good for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. But I also noticed that, okay, there's like some buildup here from like the raw shea butter. So I was like, I gotta do something else to it. And so I was like, you know what? I am going to add some sweet almond oil to the shea butter and then I'm going to mix it up. And so I did that and it took all of my strength to try to mix raw shea butter up because I was not bright enough to realize I can actually use a blender. Or something to mix it.
Or a mixer, yeah.
And so I'm sitting there mixing and then I put some on my hair and I was like, okay, this is better. And so I just kept adding a new ingredient. And then finally, like, you know, my common sense kicked in and I was like, let me put it in a mixing bowl and blend it and whip it. Mm-hmm. And so I finally like whipped it together and I was like, oh my goodness, like this looks so beautiful. It's so fluffy. And I started using it on my twist outs. And so my mom, she was like, what are you doing to your hair? I was like, I don't know. I just made some stuff in my kitchen. And she was like, you did what? I was like, yeah, I just made some stuff in my kitchen. I just mixed some stuff together. And she was like, okay, well, give me some because your hair looks really nice. Mm-hmm. And she was like, your hair looks like it's growing a whole lot. And I was like, okay. I gave some to my mom and then my sisters at the time, they went natural. And so they were like, that stuff that you're using on your hair, like give some to me. And I was like, okay, I'll give y'all some stuff too. And so I didn't put any type of marking on it. I literally just put it in like, I think Tupperware containers. I went to the dollar store and got some Tupperware.
Gotta start somewhere.
Yeah. And I was like, here y'all go.
See, if before we air this podcast, I need them pictures. If you have some old pictures of the Tupperware, we need to throw it back.
I might.
Okay.
I might.
We need to throw it back. And that should be, oh my God, like, I'm gonna talk about that afterwards, how you should do, like, for your anniversary, whether it's, so you said 2017, so your yeah. 5-year anniversary, you should be like, okay, the people who were, like, my first customers, I'm gonna throw it back, I'm gonna give y'all some in a Tupperware, just to be funny, like, hey, you remember what we started at?
Right. Like, I started from the bottom, for real.
Yes. So, during this process, I know you had a lot of support from your family and your husband. Did you have any naysayers or like, okay, girl, like, you're just trying to be like every other company and it's like natural hair care is like oversaturated. Like, why do you think you're going to be different from everybody else? Why do you think you're going to quit your job and make all these different figures and all this stuff? Did you have anybody, and or were you self-doubting yourself along your journey?
I'm thankful that there weren't a ton of people around me mm-hmm. who were really negative. There were some people who would, you know, just make snarky comments every now and then, like, oh, how's your little business doing? And I was like, you know what? That's fine.
Like, when people say that, I get the little Arthur fist from the memes. I'd be like, ooh, I want to throw these words at you. Don't ever. I'd be like, take that little out your vocabulary. Ain't no nothing little about over here.
Right. Because I don't know what it is about our culture, but sometimes, like, we are very supportive of people when they have ideas. And then when they start to take steps to put those ideas into action, we withdraw that support. And I haven't figured out why that keeps happening. But there are some people who, you know, would just say snarky things. But the overwhelming majority of people I know were just very encouraging to me. Way more encouraging than I was to myself. Because I would have conversations with all of my friends, and I would be talking to them, and they'd be like, think about everything that you have told us so far that was a goal of yours, and think about how many of those things you have accomplished. And it was a big moment of self-reflection for me, because I've had a lot of goals that I thought were mission impossible. And I was able to push through it and ultimately accomplish what it was I set out to accomplish. And so I kind of held on to that. And also, one of my good friends, my friend Tangi, I'm saying her name specifically because she gave me a piece of advice and I took it and I will forever take it with me. She asked me, she was like, what's the difference between you and other people who have dreams? Because we all have dreams. And I was like, okay, where is she going with this? And she was like, the difference between you and everybody else who is dreaming is that we have decided to put action behind those dreams. Mm. We have decided that we are not going to have any regrets. We have decided that we're going to try to accomplish them. And she was like, that's already a lot more than most people are doing. And I was like, wow, okay, you're right. She was like, even if you don't accomplish everything that you meant to accomplish, you will never be able to say you didn't try.
Wow. Yeah. We need to bring Tangi on next time. Tangi, are you available for a podcast? Because that's real. That's something real. When your friends can sit up there and tell you that and give you motivation and see your dreams and not say, okay, well, I don't know what you're going with this, but I'm going to ride the little wave for now. If you need moral support, I'm here. But if you fall, I don't know if I'm going to be here because I can't take all the stuff that may unfold behind that. But no, we need more Tangies in our life.
Yes, she's a beautiful person.
Yes, and I hope that Tangi is definitely following her dreams and putting action behind her dreams as well, because, like, our friends, it's enough for them to say, okay, they can give us advice. But if they're taking their own advice, we need to have friends like that as well, putting action behind their words and allowing their words to motivate them to do what they want and need to do within their life. So I love that for you. I'm glad you actually had somebody in the moment of when you weren't thinking that your business wasn't all that you were thinking it was going to be, and they kept pushing you along. So it's definitely something beautiful to have. And not only do you sell your products, you also educate others on your website via your ebook, A Guide to Navigating Natural Hair. How has this helped your customers and natural followers that you have?
I think for so many people, the biggest obstacle is not, okay, I can't find a product. It's like, okay, I have this product. Now what? What do I need to do with it?
Yeah.
And so I knew that I needed to put something out for people to help them navigate at home, because tons of people get advice from me either via DM or email or via an event that I'm vending. But, you know, sometimes you are out and somebody tells you something that's really good, and if you don't write it down, you're like, you get home and you're like, now what did they say? Mm-hmm. I need to do. And so I put the ebook out there because I was like, natural hair does not have to be, you know, this big to do that we make
complex. Yes. Making it complex, and it doesn't even need to be that way.
Right, because people look at me like I'm crazy when I tell them. I was like, my wash day is about 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours. Ooh. Max. And I was like, I hate spending a crazy amount of time doing temporary things. And I feel like doing my hair is temporary because at some point it's going to get messed up. And so I was like, I cannot spend all day doing my hair. And so my hair honestly did not start flourishing until I chopped my wash day down to what it is now, because I realized that all these additional steps that I was taking to do my hair were so unnecessary when I could just make sure that my hair never got in a position for me to have to do all these extra steps once wash day rolled around. So I used to be pre-pulling my hair and then letting it sit overnight and then deep conditioning for 5 hours. And I cut all of that out. And I realized the reason I was having to do all that stuff was because during the week, I wasn't really covering my hair up, or I would moisturize my hair on wash day. And then I would leave my hair for dead the rest of the week and not reapply any type of moisturizer during the week, and I would not refresh my hair at all. No bonnet, no silk pill, nothing. I was just letting my hair, you know, do its thing, and I was fine because my hair was growing. But I was noticing that, you know, I keep having fairy knots, I keep having split ends, and I was like, okay,
I didn't even know those had names. Fairy knots. Mm-hmm. What the world? Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
I just be like, oh, I got a little knot. Let me just do a little snip back there. Fairy knots. Oh, mm-hmm. Lord. Now I'm be walking around. Oh, girl, you got a fairy knot. You got a fairy knot in your beard, babe.
Right. Fairy knots. Yes.
Oh, like, my God. You just dropping all these gems.
But, like, I do not get fairy knots now. Like, yeah. I cannot even think of the last time I've seen a fairy knot on my head when I changed the way that I approach wash day, because I was like, you know what? Wash day does not start on Saturday or Sunday, whatever day I decide to wash my hair. Wash day starts when my next wash day ends, or when my last wash day ends. And so I was like, if I can take care of my hair throughout the week before wash day, by the time wash day rolls around, I don't have to spend my whole day washing my hair. It doesn't have to be wash day. It can just be, okay, I washed my hair and then I styled it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I started to approach it. And so about midweek, I will spray some more leave-in conditioner. If I need to apply some more butter, I don't apply a big amount. I just take like a small amount of butter, spray my leave-in, distribute my butter on my style. Or if I'm going to do oil instead, I distribute my oil on my style. And then I call it a day. I know some people don't like to wrap up their hair. And so, you know, you can buy a silk pillowcase or a satin pillowcase. I have a satin pillowcase and I wrap up my hair because my head scarf likes to betray me in the middle of the night sometimes. So
I need like to go for a midnight snack drive off to the store and end up on the floor afterwards.
Right. I'm like, girl, how did you get down at the foot of the bed? But I still have my pillowcase, so I'm good. And so doing just small things, like you will notice like a drastic change because instead of your hair feeling like a desert and being super thirsty for moisture when wash day comes around, your hair will still be okay.
Yes.
And so sometimes I can extend my wash day if I'm super busy or if I have a lot of events on the weekend. I don't have to wash my hair right away. My hair will be good. And that also cuts down on your hair being super tangled. I detangle my hair in the shower when I'm washing my hair in the shower. Mm-hmm. I wash my hair in 4 sections and it takes me about maybe. Longer. And so mm-hmm. I wash my hair in my 4 sections and that's it.
Okay. So I know that you're creating products, creating content. Ooh,
hello, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
The two hardest parts of being a natural girl are keeping your hair moisturized and retaining hair length. This is especially hard for ladies with curly and coily hair. Natural Oasis, an all-natural handcrafted hair care brand, was created with this in mind and is the first and perfect solution to dry hair, unmanageable hair, and hard-to-grow hair. Curated by a type 4 naturalista, living with 4 other distinct hair types, these Ayurvedic ingredients infused products are the perfect Black Friday gift for any natural. Use code try it for 20% off of your purchase.
So I know that you're creating content and products and everything. Do you usually have a team or do you do it alone? And how do you find balance and peace of mind after a long work day or work week? What is your favorite self-care thing?
I am a one-woman show. Ooh, yeah. So I'm creating the content, I'm packaging. I will enlist the help of my little ones to help with packaging for small mm-hmm. things, but I am a perfectionist. So even with me getting them to help, it's still like, okay, mommy's still going over it again to make sure that is mm-hmm. what it's supposed to be. But it's just me doing everything myself. I think that maybe next year, I will let the reins go a little bit because I think that it's important to have a tribe when you're trying to do something like grow a business. It's mm-hmm. not feasible long term to do everything yourself because I have to deal with, bouts of burnout because it just gets really hard doing everything yourself. So I'm going to step out of my shell and finally enlist some help. I will just, take my time finding the right people to assist me. Mm-hmm. But what I like to do to unwind is I really, really, really love, I've fallen in love with nature. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I will just drive out to the beach and just look at the ocean. Like, I don't even have to get out my car. Like, I can just stare at the waves crashing, and it's so calming.
Yes.
Just watching the waves crash. It in a weird way, it helps to center me again whenever I feel like I'm all over the place. Because as beautiful as the waves are, I also know that they're super dangerous if I was out there in them. And so it helps to realign my perspective about things in a weird way, and how everything is two-sided. Because even though I'm really happy that I have a business and I have had my business as long as I have, sometimes it can be very draining having a business. So just thinking about like how that is just life and nature in itself, it is really calming for me. Or just watching, like going to the park and like animals interact with each other. It's just, I just really enjoy doing really simple things.
Yeah. As you get older, I think that's the same with me. I love being in nature as well. I feel like all the chaos definitely brings so much on us. And then once you just sitting there and watching something so simple, it's just a relaxing thing in itself.
It is.
Okay, so one big question that I know that really a lot of people don't realize until they're further in their business and in what you call seasoned, when they're looking back on their journey. So what are some mistakes that you made that helped you in your business in the long run?
Honestly, like overextending myself. And I know that sounds terrible, because that's like one of the biggest pieces of advice I tell people not to do, like don't overextend yourself. But I think that because I hit the ground running, and as soon as I had an actual logo and product labels that I could slap on my packaging, I was like, okay, now that I have these things, like I'm gonna do every event possible. So literally every time there was an event and I heard about it, I immediately signed up to be a vendor. In the long run, that was craziness, because as I mentioned before, I was in graduate school and I had a brand new baby, and I had another daughter and a husband. I have no idea how I even did it, honestly. Looking back, I don't know where I pulled the strength from, except that I really just wanted to try to establish myself. But I'm thankful because of that, because of the early days of me hustling like a crazy person. A lot of people remember me. They will see me now at events with, you know, a more refined label and more refined products. And they get really excited. They're like, oh my goodness, I'm so happy to see you are still doing this. Let me get some more products from you. Or I've been trying to find you and I lost your information, or I lost my Instagram, or whatever the case was. I'm so glad that you're still out here. I love you so much. And it really motivates me when people stop at my booth and they say things like that, or they see me in the store and they remember me, and I'm like, I don't remember you. I feel so bad.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. Like, I've been watching you from afar. So, that, you know, nobody is paying attention. Even if you post something and you only get 10 likes or 5 likes or 5 likes on Instagram, like, people are still taking notice. And just because, you know, they don't acknowledge via a like doesn't mean that they didn't acknowledge it. And so people coming up to me, it's helped me to navigate social media better too, because I for a long time, I got caught up in, oh, people aren't liking it. That means people aren't seeing it. That doesn't mean that. Mm-hmm. That does not mean that. But so many people have come up to me about posts that I had very few likes on, and they were like, that really helped me a lot.
Okay. Yeah. The numbers really don't make social media, and they try to make it, oh, this like, that like, all this kind of stuff. And that really doesn't even help it at all. And with small businesses, whether it's people that I know personally or brands that I purchase from a lot, I've started keeping their packaging, like the containers or the bottles or whatever, just so I can have them, so that later on down the line I can say, hey, you remember this company, or if they're going out of business or sold it to some company and they flipped it and tumbled and created all these different things, I can say, well, this is where they started. This is what they were originally using and doing. And it's just fun for me as an entrepreneur to be able to say, okay, well, like, I have this, because you never know, it may be worth something later on down the line. So I love keeping packaging and little postcards from businesses and business cards, so that I can create something in a space whenever I do have my office space, where I can get you to come down and be able to sit in person and do a video and audio podcast and do some product testing on camera and everything. And I'm going to be able to have a room of everybody's stuff all on the wall, so they can see, oh, these are the businesses. I don't want all the Shea Moistures and all that stuff. If I haven't caught them later on, early on in their journey, I don't want to be able to highlight it, because it gets tainted with too, I feel like it's not authentic. And to be able to see the authenticity early on in somebody, and to say, hey, I remember you from doing this event and that event, and you inspired me, and you've helped me, and that's something powerful.
That is very powerful. Me having a small business changed my perspective, and it has helped me to support so many other smaller businesses, because I know firsthand what it's like when you have decided, like, okay, this is going to be another stream of income for me, and you are very hands-on and doing everything yourself. And so I'm like, you know what, let me go support that person, because even if it's not like a huge thing, that maybe that may have had no sales that day, and I was there one sale for the day, or maybe the one sale for the week. And I'm pretty sure, you know, that made their day, me being able to purchase something from them that they are putting their heart and soul into. So I completely understand that. It has helped me to go out of my way to try to support mostly small businesses instead of big corporations.
Yes. And like, prior to this, we had only been following each other on Instagram, and when I got to know you via Clay, because of me and one of my friends doing a self-care giveaway and embracing our self-care and allowing people to see, hey, you can love yourself and not be afraid to love yourself, and don't care about what nobody thinks. And when Clay won the actual giveaway, and he said, okay, the prize was products from a company that they would want for self-care. And when he said yours, I'm like, I've never heard of this business. So let me keep it in my back pocket. I may need it later on down the line. And that literally was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost 3 years ago. So it goes to show that you never know what opportunities are going to be there. Just because somebody knows you today don't mean that they won't know you tomorrow or 3, 5, 6 years from now.
Yeah, that happens so often for me as well. Like, people who have been following me for years, and then I see them at an event, and they're like, I'm so glad I can finally talk to you in person. And then they end up buying like everything off the table. That's happened to me several times. They're like, oh my goodness, like, because, and it's like people who I did not realize that, you know, either they were following me or we were following each other. And I'm just sitting there having a conversation with them like I do with everybody who comes to my booths. Yeah. And they're like, no, you legit, like, you know what you're talking about. I want one of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I feel now. I'm like, okay, what I'm about to go order off this website? Because I believe if you're going to sell me something, you need to know what you're talking about. And it definitely, the proof is in the pudding. So, I mean, yeah, and that just takes me to my next question. Where do you see yourself and your business in the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, I would love to be an established brand and a major retailer. A couple of people have sent me the Target application a few times, and I feel like I'm not quite ready yet. Maybe next year. I will actually, you know, get up the courage to apply for, you know, the Target. I can't remember exactly what it's called.
Yeah, I know what program you're talking about.
Yeah, like I think they have another one. Fall one, someone just sent it to me. Actually, three people sent it to me, the fall one. And so I was like, okay, maybe in the spring. Yeah. I will be courageous enough to apply, but I would love to be in a major retailer because I feel so much pride when I'm walking through stores like Target. Their setup in their ethnic hair care section is awesome because they have little biographies and pictures of all of the women who are the faces and owners of the Black hair care brands. And it's so exciting to see, because I remember a time where the section of hair for Black women in stores like that was either non-existent or there were only two or three products that were on those shelves. And it was mostly, you know, for non-Black women hair. Yes. Or non-ethnic hair. So seeing those women and their faces and their little stories, and even some of the women who I'm not familiar with, seeing their names, I'm like, oh, let me go find out about this woman. Like, I'm proud of you, sis. Like, even though I don't know you.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, I'm going to be looking for you in my Target. Is there anybody local that carries your products on hand, like any stores in Savannah?
There is actually a store that is opening in January of next year. They are finishing up, you know, the building process now. They are going to be the first retailer here that's going to carry my products. So I'm super, super excited about that process, because there's a lot of buzz around this storefront. It's a Black-owned storefront, and all of the, you know, people who are going to be in there, they're Black and brown people. Okay. Everyone working on the project is either Black or brown, so it's a huge deal for us, and it'll be, you know, in the Midtown Historic District, which is a high-traffic area, so I'm super-duper excited that I get to put my products in there.
Starting off year five with a bang. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. And they say five is a powerful number. So
yes.
So I'm definitely happy for you. And it just shows that your brand that you believed in all these years is still evolving, still growing, and still going to be talked about, whether it's in Savannah or people ordering from all over.
Yeah, I have tried over the years. I've learned to give myself grace, because my goals from year one and my goals now are completely different. I think it's good to be ambitious, but it's also good to be realistic. Mm-hmm. And I had to get out of the spirit of comparison.
Yeah.
Because comparison will kill your entire mindset. Yeah, mm-hmm. it will beat it dead. And so I learned to tell myself that, you know, my journey is not the same as his journey, even if we're in the same world or we're in the same arena. And so what may have popped off for somebody in year one of their business and they just exploded and you know, overnight, a sensation, that may not happen for me until year six or year seven. And I'm okay with that now because I never gave up. And regardless of when it happened, it still happened and everything was a learning experience for me. And everything has been positive and I'm thankful for my entire journey, regardless of how up and down it has been. If I still get to where I want to be, I'm still going to be happy about it.
Yes. And before I go into the fun questions, this, everything that you just said in that summary just brings to why I started Peace of Mind with the Soul Coach podcast. And I really didn't know until you said something early on in the podcast. And it really just hit me. Like, I do this so that I can highlight the journey of others and how others are the experts of their own journey. This journey is not for anybody else. They can't say, oh, what I'm doing is going to work for you. And everybody can say, oh, I'm an expert in my craft and my field. No, you're the expert of your own journey. Mm-hmm. You're not the expert of everything that you think you know, because there's always going to be someone who knows something more than you and mm-hmm. who is trying a different way. And it really just, yeah, like showed me that everybody is the expert of their own journey. What works for you, it works for you. And it kind of sparked you, and I was watching a video that Clay put up from yesterday, and he was like basically about his project Be Good to You and how you have to give yourself grace and just focus on you and loving yourself and giving yourself that love and just not worrying about anybody else's journey. And this theme has really played a part in like the evolution of so many different people. So I'm very happy that you've actually recognized this, gave yourself grace, and is continuing to like stay in your own lane and not worry mm-hmm. about anybody else, because your lane is taking you far. Like you're on your own easy pass lane to where you want to be. I'm not saying success, because success may look different for you. It's not mm-hmm. everything that someone else like may think of. So I'm really happy for you, and I'm so glad that everybody was able to learn more about your journey. And now with these fun questions, we're gonna learn a little bit about you.
Yes. I'm okay. Ready.
Yes. So what is your favorite movie?
Ooh, my favorite movie. I'm going to say it is a tie between probably Edward Scissorhands and Steel Magnolias.
Okay. I've never heard of the second movie, but Edward Scissorhands, I remember that from when I was little. I used to go to my cousin's house, and he used to be on Comedy Central all the time.
I used to love that movie. And Steel Magnolias, it's one of my favorite movies, because a very young Julia Roberts is kind of like one of the center characters, and it's a kind of a sad movie, but it is the very definition of Southern culture. Like if you are a girl from the South and you see that movie, like all of the characters, especially the older ladies, you know an older lady like that in that movie.
Okay, I may have to look that up and go ahead and watch that, because that's something, yeah, Julia Roberts, she's a really good actress.
Yeah, I have so much respect for her and her family, like just finding out things about her, this though her family was in the, during like the civil rights movement and a lot of the things that they did to help, you know, ease integration and just like be supportive of Black people and Dr. King. Like, I love her and I have so much respect for her and her family.
Okay. So what is your favorite candle scent or essential oil scent?
Ooh, favorite candle. I think my favorite candle scent is probably teak wood. Okay. And my favorite essential oil scent is, I'm going to say, rosemary.
Okay. Yeah, rosemary is really good. And I've started eating it a lot, like on my food, like pizza. When I go get pizza, I'll get rosemary. And it just, like, with that and the oregano on top, it's just like so good.
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay, what is your favorite thing to do? I know you kind of highlighted what you do for your self-care. I don't know if that's the same.
I'm really adventurous. Mm-hmm. I'm really adventurous, so I love to find things that a lot of people who look like us don't typically do. Mm-hmm. Like the aquarium in Atlanta, they recently opened, I guess, kind of like an exhibit where you can go down in the cage and like kind of get up close and personal with sharks. So I'm excited to go do that. I'm planning on doing that for my birthday.
When's your birthday?
My birthday is next month. It's December 3rd.
Okay, December 3rd, okay.
So I'm gonna do that for my birthday, but I'm really adventurous. Like, I'm definitely a thrill seeker. Like, I'm the person on the front row on roller coasters with my hands up. I've been skydiving. I want to go bungee jumping. Like, I really love, like, adventure type things.
Oh, wow. That would be, man... You should have done a commercial skydiving with your products.
Oh, that would be a good one. Like, your hair can look good even falling out the sky.
Exactly. See? Mm-mm-mm. Wait till this commercial comes. I'm gonna be like, I'm a creative director behind it. Okay, so what is a most memorable moment for you?
Most memorable moment. You know what?
Say your top three.
Okay, so my first one was, I remember I made it to the city spelling bee, and the word was intuition. I'm never going to forget this. The word was intuition. And wow. I second-guessed myself, and I misspelled it. And I think I was in fourth place. I just missed placing. So that is very memorable because it taught me that I needed to stop second-guessing myself at a very early age, like to go with my gut instinct.
That is, wow. That is something that I didn't even know they'd be spelling intuition. In spelling bees.
Girl, it has some crazy words. Wow. We're having to spell. But that was a child. And I used to read the dictionary for fun. So when, you know, spelling bees came around, I was like, oh, this is right up my alley. I can spell anything.
Exactly. And I don't think you were nerdy. I really, when people use the word nerdy, I'm like, what is a word? How we really stereotype the word nerd instead of being inquisitive, because we are, it just shows that you are eager to learn. You want to do certain things and see the outcome of the cause and effect. So definitely you are inquisitive you are inquisitive.
Yeah. Cause even now, like I'm constantly learning, like, every day I feel like I learn something new because I just, that thirst for education and new information was instilled in me at a very early age. And so I think that has helped me a lot throughout my adult life also.
Okay.
Let's see. What is your favorite day of the week?
Oh, my favorite day of the week. I'm going to say Sunday. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. It does not matter what the weather is like on Sunday. It could be sunny. It could be raining. It could be snowing. Like, to me, Sunday just always feels good.
Yeah, it feels relaxing.
Yeah, it's just always like, okay, like, we made it another week. Like, good job. Mm-hmm. It just feels like you can take a load off. It doesn't matter if I have stuff to do or not. It just feels like, it just feels good.
Yeah, it does. Okay, so this wraps up the podcast, and I'm so glad you were able to come on, give everyone this knowledge that you have, and most definitely want everybody to go and follow you. So what is your social media handles, your email for business inquiries, and what is your website as well?
Absolutely. You can follow me on Instagram at Naptural, Naptural underscore Oasis, Oasis. And you can follow me on Facebook at two words. My email address, it's natural.oasisllc@gmail.com if you have any business inquiries. And my website is naturaloasis.com. This is Jarquita Arrington, founder and CEO of Natural Oasis, and you're listening to Peace of Mind with the Soul Coach.
A wife and a mother of two, Jarquita spent her entire life making strides to disprove the previous limitations about the city she loves with her whole being. Motivated out of a combination of necessity and curiosity, Jarquita, lovingly known by many as Q, began mixing butters, essential oils, and the like in the small kitchen of her apartment she shared with her blossoming family. Shortly after noticing rapid hair growth in both her daughter and herself, she began sharing her homemade recipes with the other family members, motivating them to go on their own natural hair journey in the process. An entrepreneur at heart, Q knew she could no longer keep her natural hair secrets to herself and decided to share her mixing gifts with the world. Natural Oasis was born.
All right, peacemakers, this is wrapping up the show, and I just want you guys to stay social. Follow us on Instagram at Peace of Mind with TSK. Yep, that's our new Instagram for the podcast. You can follow us on our main page at your underscore Peace of Mind. You can follow us on Twitter at Keep Smiling POM, on YouTube at Peace of Mind with TSK. Email us at yourpeaceofmind2016@gmail.com and head over to our website. Our website is up now, www.thesoulcoach.com. You can find merch, information on how you can collaborate, getting your own episode, sponsorship programs and plans, our blog, everything. So just go over and check it out. See you next time.